Fuck You Dad.
This is what happened. I sent him a clip of the podcast, and it was a clip I thought he would like. It was Ryan. It was of Ryan DePaula's episode of him talking about the vaccine. Hmm. No response whatsoever. Nothing.
Is it the first time he saw the title of the podcast?
No. He's known about the podcast a couple months back. And he listened to an episode, and he was like, you know, I get it. Like, you're trying to get through whatever it is I did to you with the podcast, whatever. If you can make it in comedy with this, good. But, like, he keeps asking about the Patreon. He keeps asking, like, how much money are you making? Because that's his whole thing.
That's such a dad thing to do.
That's his whole thing.
Making money? You making money?
Yeah.
I could be killing hookers. My dad's like, you making money, though?
Yeah,
I'd be like, yeah. He'd be like,
are you taking their money from them, at least? But this is an episode with Chris Creco. Chris, how are you, man?
I'm good. I'm okay. What's going on?
See, the soft open wasn't as smooth.
But, I enjoyed it. I thought it was going great, bud. I felt bad for interrupting, but
No, that was
you're
perfect.
A delicious host.
It was perfect. I am a delicious host.
You are.
Here's the thing about this episode is Kenyon's out of town once again. He's crushing it. I mean, if you're in Iowa going to one of these shows, I'll be there this weekend, but he loves the corn-fed people, and he loves screaming at them.
Kenyon's getting too hot to be talking to corn-fed people.
Yeah, Kenyon got hot.
He got hot, man.
And I don't know how to take it, dude. I made fun of him for the earrings, but he stood his ground. Mm-hmm. He said he was going to take him out as soon as he got here, but he never did.
Okay, that's not what's... No, he's crossed the threshold. I watched a little bit of the podcast you did with Joe Madoff. That
yes.
dude, Kenyon,
yeah.
6 months away from a back tattoo. Like a hot guy back tattoo. He's going to go in a little drunk. He's going to crush the show. Here's what's going to happen. He's going to crush the show.
Yes.
He's going to be like with some his new friends, not like you, anybody here.
No. He's going to start making new friends.
New friends. They're all going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
And then he's going to, you know, they're going to be crushing it on the town. They're going to go into a tattoo parlor. He's going to choose something off the sheet. He's going to be like, you know, I pulled off these earrings.
Yeah.
I got
that.
I don't know what that's called, but the line in the side of your head.
Yeah.
And then
that's called I spent an extra $8 on my haircut to get a line shaved in my head. That's what it is.
I like that he's looking more and more like a Dominican every day. And I think that he's going to get a tattoo, and he's going to usurp all the hot boys in the scene, dude.
He said he wanted let him know, which is like a comedy mantra that we do in cookout letters. Have you ever been to a cookout?
His brain hasn't caught up to hot guy mindset yet. That's a bad idea for a tattoo. It's a bad tattoo.
Yeah, he hasn't been hot for a long time.
He's not. He's still. He doesn't understand that it's like he needs a pattern.
Have you seen pictures of him when he was in high school?
No.
Chubby. Pudgy
Chubbs?
Kid. Husky plus.
Woo.
Yeah.
Wow.
He has that. And if you really.
That's interesting because he's not fat at all.
No. He's a thin guy. But you understand it. If you see him around a box of hot and spicy Cheez-Its, that pudgy high schooler comes out. The way he devours snack food, you're like, oh, you have it in you.
He's
you
talking to him like this, like there's snacks on the table, and you're talking to him, you're like, he's like, yeah?
Oh, he's fully, yeah.
And he just keeps looking at the snacks?
Might as well be a pair of tits. And then he's just like completely like distracted by them, can't focus on anything else. We'll ask for more if the bowl is empty.
Yeah.
I hate that he's not a part of this episode. I'm just using it to talk shit about him. But
yeah, that's right.
Kind of funny. This is my test.
Does
to see
he
if
listen
he,
to the ones that he's not?
I don't know. We're about to find out.
He's gonna be like, he's like, you talk shit about me with Chris fucking Greco?
Yeah. What is our podcast?
What is
now?
This? Number one, Chris Greco's on the podcast, and then it's gonna be like, did you use that podcast to talk shit about me? Because you knew I wouldn't listen.
That was a good Kenyon. Do you do voices at all in your act? Not really.
I mean, kind of like a little bit. I'm trying to do it more now. I'm trying to do it more a little. I know that sounds like the opposite of what comics usually do.
Yeah.
It's like you leave your voice phase.
Yeah, yeah.
But
No.
I'm trying to just make it a little less monotone. Everything is a little less monotone. You know what I mean? Because everything
you do have a, you got kind of one of those.
It's got a droner I know.
My voice kind of sucks and it's nasally, so anytime I can get away from it, like, I feel like it's a nice break for the audience.
Do you remember one of the first times we met? Then we'll talk about dads, I suppose. But one of the first times we met, we did a show at like Hamburger Mary's when that was still a show.
Oh, I remember that show. Yes.
And then I was leaving, and you messaged me. We had not talked before. You're like, I got like a tag for you, and I was like, okay. Well, I'm at the train station. He's like, you're like, I'll tell it to you later. Then like a month goes by, and you come up at like a mic, and you at the B stage in Comedy Bar. You're shit faced.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
And you come up and like you, you look around the table, and then you get to me. You go, oh. And I'm like, what's up, man? And you're like, I got a tag for you. And I'm like, what is it? You're like, I don't remember. I was like, it's nice to meet you.
I was about to say
it's because a pleasure. It's a pleasure to meet you.
I was
you,
like, God, because I remembered the first part of it, and then I was excited because I was like, oh, I did remember it, but I obviously didn't remember it.
It's okay, man.
I do that all the time when I, especially like after I do a set and I have a couple beers and I sit back and watch the show. It's that like relaxed mindset of like, I just got up,
mm-hmm.
I'm having a beer.
Mm-hmm.
That puts me in a good space for like writing, and it's always other people's material going on. So like I try to do it in the least, like, I hope you didn't feel like I was coming off like a dick, because I did that to Tori Kilkenny like last 2 weekends ago. I was fucked up in the audience at an open mic, and then she was talking about the joke at the bar, and I was like, oh, I got a tag. And I kind of like drunkenly slurred through an idea, and she was just like, yeah, that was great. Anyway, I gotta go. She like left immediately, and I was like, oh, I think I...
That's hilarious.
I hope I didn't like mansplain. I hope she didn't.
You most certainly
like...
did, but here's the thing. Tori's very fun. Tori's great.
Yeah, she's great. But I...
Tori's great.
When I get drunk, I get excited about
comedy. I'm definitely
going to
ask her when
dude.
I see her.
Yeah,
know,
ask her. Ask her. Oh, my God.
Yeah. I'm going to ask her. Psyop, I'll do a
dude.
Covert. I'll do a
covert.
Covert. I'm not
covert.
Gonna, yeah, I'll let her know.
Covert. Keep it covert.
Okay.
I'd like how I'm on a podcast, right, being like, keep it covert.
I go back to my childhood. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up not far, like not too far from me. It was like 30 miles out in the northwest suburbs.
Oh, okay.
The suburbs of Chicago.
Okay.
Out there.
Which suburb?
It's like one of the. It's off of Route 14, like Cary, Crystal Lake, Box River Grove, Barrington, that kind of fucking
okay.
thing.
Okay. Is it like a strip mall suburb or is
yes.
it like... Okay. All right.
Yes. Big highway that ran through the middle of the town. You know, very much Panera Bread next to the karate studio. Kind of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know? Now that I don't think there's any actual local business here anymore. It's all just like random companies like Culver's.
No,
I think,
that's the whole
I think,
country,
I,
dude.
I know, dude.
Like...
I think Culver's owns half my town at this point. I think the Culver's company owns Fox River Grove, Illinois at this point.
Culver's loves the rural Midwest.
I mean, they got a lot of cheese. It's a, it's yeah, a cheese-based dude. Kind of company.
And their big burger, the Butter Burger, it's good.
Is it?
I like it.
Here's the thing. I don't go into Culver's because I have...
I mean, they own half the town.
They tore down, like, my like childhood
oh, your
like,
spot.
Restaurant. Like, the childhood restaurant there that was, like, owned like by a local thing. It was a hot dog restaurant, too. My dad owns a hot dog restaurant.
Get
so
out
like
of here.
I had a yeah, so I had like a connection to the place, and it gets torn down for a Culver's, so now I don't even go in.
Damn.
It hurts.
Okay, then no,
which
no, no,
is
no,
pathetic,
that's fair.
But that just is
no,
what it
that's
is. I don't
fair.
Go into Culver's anymore.
That almost sounds like a Disney original movie, like there should have been a food competition to keep the restaurant or the chain where the chain comes in, you know?
And I'm just sweating as a kid just flipping
yeah,
burgers.
You're like, this is my dad's original recipe.
And then the one righteous judge, like, this is the greatest
yeah.
I've ever had. And I get it. They lift me up in the air while fucking
he,
Mr. Blue
he
Sky
throws
plays
the check
the
from Culver's in the trash to bribe the judge. He throws it in the trash and he goes, I can't do it.
He does the end of the Goonies where he rips up the check and
yeah,
throws
yeah.
it in the air.
Yeah. So your dad owned a hot dog restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Dude. And
so
it's
you worked in her hot dog restaurant for a while.
I mean, it was like, well, here's the thing. So it's not like my days were spent in the hot dog restaurant because I don't know if you know this about working in fast food. It sucks.
I've worked in the fastest fast food place I've worked in was a Panera. I actually worked at a Panera.
Yeah.
And as a dishwasher,
yep.
It's where I developed depression. Shout out Panera. Cause I was in a wet corridor, and think about how many dishes per customer Panera is. You get a plate, You get a soup bowl. You get a salad bowl.
They got a lot of silverware, man.
Dude, a lot of silverware.
They got a lot of silverware, man.
And I would just sit back there.
And they're all different
sizes
because you'll get like a bowl and a plate and another plate and a whatever else. Uh-huh. And then all this, the fucking forks and shit.
I had to watch a training video. It was the worst. But
you know, I've worked in food before where I'm like literally doing the math. I'm like, okay, two bowls per order. And I'm like, I'm thinking of the horse shit that I have to do later. Yeah.
And it didn't help. It was the first Panera in Fargo. No, it was the first Panera in North Dakota.
So it's a big deal.
It was a huge deal in Fargo.
Why?
Because it's a new thing.
I forgot.
That's what they got.
We had a new Jewel Osco. Everyone came. Yes. Moms talked about it like they talk about like wanting to fuck like the new star on like in Hollywood. Like they talk about it like they talk about like Tom Holland being a good boy for their daughter. Like they have that kind of like there's a new Jewel Osco.
Yeah.
I want to go to the Jewel Osco. We can buy bread and sandwiches. It's the same. It was, you know what it was before? Another grocery store. It's just put a new grocery store there. It's
my
not
mom,
any different.
My mom got Trader Joe's 20 minutes from her. She called me. She went, Nick, Nick. And I was like, oh my God, what happened? Did the cat die? What happened? And she goes, no, Trader Joe's is here.
Mom.
I was like, can we? That's a text. That's a for sure text. That's
she just
maybe
needed
even
to tell
a Facebook
somebody,
message.
Though.
Oh, yeah. She was so pumped.
Because she already called all her friends.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she's
yeah.
still excited. She's still got juice in the battery.
She loves Trader Joe's, dude. I think every person, once they give birth in the hospital, like something chemically happens in their brain where they're like, I gotta go to Trader Joe's. I fucking love it.
I don't like how much of a weird old man I've become living on my own because I like Trader Joe's. And you know what I even like more than
Trader Joe's? Yeah.
This is the worst and makes me kind of hate myself more than comedy is I love Target. Like I go into Target and I go, yes. Like that's my inner monologue. I'm like, yes. I go to the clothes section. I go, you know what my inner monologue? They just have everything I need. Like that's like what I say to myself. Uh-huh. And I Target this socks and underwear I'm wearing right now all from Target. They all fit nice and
snug. That's it. See, that's why corporate America. And I bet you go to your apartment and you watch documentaries and you're like, man, this corporate country, I can't stand it. But then you're like, but if anybody fucks with Target.
I will shop at Target while listening to Rage Against the Machine. That's how
the
cognitive dissonance in my head
is
unmatched.
No, I know. I'm the same way. Like, I'm always like, man, we can't keep, like, dealing with Amazon. Like, this is not... We got to shop with – you got to keep money circulating in your community. But then I'm on Amazon every day buying shit. I can't stop.
Well, it's too good.
It comes to your door
really good.
The next day.
Pretty nice. I'm a big fan.
Okay, so he owns a hot dog place.
Yes. We're talking about dads.
Yes. Was that like a fun memory for you, the hot dog place, or was it a lot of stress?
Here's what it is.
I feel like that's a lot of stress owning a restaurant.
Here's what it is. He hated it. He hates it to this day. He hates the restaurant. He hates working in it. So it makes a very interesting dynamic because he used it as a punishment tool. Very effective.
Oh, interesting.
So if I fucked up in school, which was a lot, I would go to for the summer. Like if it was really bad, like for the summer, I would go and like work there multiple days a week.
Would you still get a check?
He would pay me. Sometimes he wouldn't, depending on how bad it was. Like if it was like if it was like I was going out like for a while, like I would get paid a little bit, which was nice because it's kind of giving you the vibe of like working and then you get paid for having to work and not all jobs are good. So you kind of get that.
I can't imagine how bad a hot dog would taste if a teenager spitefully made it for no money. Like,
let me tell you,
piece of shit dad. Like,
dude,
that's who's working. That tastes terrible.
I was never ultimately because here's the thing with working when you work in places like that, and I'm sure you had that at like Panera or whatever. Like the shittier place you work, like the more fun the people can be.
Oh, absolutely.
So like
I truly believe in that.
I loved everyone that worked there just busted each other's balls.
Yes,
and were so aggressively funny.
People
like naturally so fucking fun. To this day, there are people in the comedy scene where I'm like, dude, there are people that work at Lulu's.
Oh, 100%.
That are fucking 100%. So much funnier than this guy.
I've thought, like, people always say, like, oh, comedian, like, you must have taken some shit. Like, you got a raunchy kind of. It's like, no, I've taken more hits and, like, talked more shit at work, like, waiting tables and stuff.
Yeah.
The that community of workers, I mean, it's a blast. because the work is it's that
Fox
bad.
Hole humor or whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it's like it made me when I would like leave, like even though the work sucked dick and it was like so long, you drive all the way out to the city and just fucking work for hours and then like drive back.
Oh, his restaurant is in the city.
Yes. So like every day is a so he's just a bitter what?
Can we plug it?
Go to Lulu's Hot Dogs. It's great. But here's the thing, I'm about to tell you some gross.
Okay.
It is a great listen, I will say, I'm about to talk a lot of shit about Lulu's. The food is actually very good. No bullshit. But here's one thing that this is where like I kinda like wish my friends were funnier like this. Like we would just do I couldn't believe some of the shit you can get away with. Like there was a thing, because it's a hot dog place, you have hot dogs in broth, and they get, like our skin, they get pruney if they sit in the broth for too many hours, and then you're supposed to throw them away. So my dad, I'm like, hey, Dad, these are all fucked up. I remember my first time, like, at the hot dog station, on the line, I'm like, these are all fucked up, I gotta throw them away. He's like, you're not fucking throwing those away. He goes, you take the fucking hot dog, you put it up there, and we put it on, like in the corner, like, so it's still warm, like, of the thing, and he's just like, just keep it there, and fucking, if I say candidate, then you fucking put it in a dog. I was like, what? He goes, let me show you what I mean. So then, a lot of crackheads come in.
Okay.
So a lot of crackheads would, like, come into the restaurant and stuff, because they're kind of on the west side, and, like, you know, some, you know.
Yes.
And so people would come in, and they'd be like, hey, Don. He'd be like, what's up, Joey, or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and then,
yeah.
And he'd be like, one candidate, and then I would take that pruned up hot
dog.
He
called it a candidate?
One candidate, because there was a code for everything you wanted to do. Anytime you wanted to do something fucked up or weird, there was a code. He also had
Absolutely.
It for every race. There was a new code. Just so he could be racist without getting yelled at. I'm not going to... Like, a bunch of black people come in, he goes, three la. So he just called him la. Like, I mean, it was, like, the most crazy... He was so, like...
That is crazy.
It was crazy, it's but so also, like, dude, it was just... It makes me laugh to this day that it existed. I know I'm supposed to be like, that is horrifying.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Like, the idea that... I think they still do it. I think they just still have their
We'll
their
have to
code.
Go see.
Yeah, if you're and black, going to Lulu's.
If you go to Lulu's and he goes, go get a candidate, just leave.
No, yeah. But here's the thing: you don't serve those to normal customers.
No.
Everyone's gonna be mad.
Right,
you get
right.
it. You give it to the people who treat you like shit.
With newspaper
pants. Yes, it's the equivalent of like the guy spitting in your burger, but it's on the front, so you can't. You have to be more discreet.
Yeah.
So you take the shitty thing and you cover it. The trick was you cover it in mustard entirely.
Yeah.
So no one could see the pruning.
Oh, God, I love
and
it.
And then
you
put the rest of the toppings on. And that's what we would use for, like, dudes who would, like, come in and, like, do free work.
Okay.
They were, like, drug addicts that would come in and, like, they would do, like, some work, like, randomly if he needed shit done. And he'd be like, you know, we need a fucking, you know, there's a thing fucked up in the back.
Right.
If you can go and mop up, like, I'll feed you. Like, I'll give you some food.
See, that's not bad. That's better than throwing it away.
It is, but then he would also do crazy shit where it would be like, like, and I asked him about this recently, but I remember him being in the back and he had these like the kitchen scissors, and he was cutting up the candidate hot dogs. He was cutting them up at the end of the day, like into little tiny cubes. And I go, "What are you doing?" He's like, "I'm putting them in the chili." I go, "What?" He's like, "I'm putting them in the fucking chili." I'm like, "Why?"
It adds a boost.
He goes. They don't fucking notice. He didn't even answer me. He's like, they don't fucking notice. He puts it in the chili. There's no reason to put it, but he just puts it in the chili. And then one time, like the next day, a guy comes up after ordering chili. He goes, hey, man, are there cut up hot dogs?
No way.
He comes up to the front.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like on the line and he's like at the register. He's like, is this a cut up hot dog in my chili? And he goes, no. He's like,
no. Oh, no, you deny. You can't. Once you give in, then that's when, yeah.
He also was, like, unintentionally
that's
funniest.
That's a weird bean. That's a new bean.
He goes, it's fucking chili. What are you busting? What are you coming up here? Wasting my fucking
it's
time.
Stuff.
It's fucking stuff. What, you never have chili before, asshole? What's going on? It was very much like that. Like, it would be like a woman would come up with, like, soup. There's a fly in her soup. There's a fly in her food. She'd be like, there's a fly in my food. He goes, hey, don't worry. We don't charge extra for that. And then he would just go into the back. Hilarious.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
But also, like, I can't believe he was talking to people like this. It made me so happy.
But when you own a small restaurant like that, I feel like now, too, like, hipsters are so weird. Like, that could be, like, a cool, like, perk of it. They're like, yes, the owner's kind of sassy and, like, we'll give you shitty food, but that's part of the experience.
It's like, it's exactly like that. And you get that. You see in the Google reviews. That's what people are saying. Like, they don't take no shit. They don't care. It's the, what is that place? I had it today. Wiener Circle. It's like the Wiener Circle.
Oh, thing. Dude, the first, this was a crazy, like, I had just moved to Chicago. I was there at, like, 2 a.m. because I was, when you were new to the city, like I was, I never lived in a city like this. So yeah. I grew up in just outside Minneapolis. And so I just went on these walks at, like, 1:32 a.m., which you tell people that now, they go, like, what? Why? And I'd just be like, because it's the city. I was just excited to be here. I went to Wiener Circle, and I'm in line waiting, and there's, like, there's like an older guy with just a six pack of Heineken, and he's like drinking them with his son in the Wiener Circle.
Yes.
And they're like at a table. And then there was a group of Latino gentlemen, and there was something said.
Latinx.
Excuse me.
Thank you.
And there was something said, and the older white guy goes, where are you guys even from? Something like that. And they start to get in the older guy's face. Like, what do you mean that racist white guy? What the fuck is that supposed to mean? And then the son of this guy, the Heineken drinking guys, yes, gets up in their face, is like, don't talk to my dad that way. And then the Wiener Circle lady is just starts screaming, like, she's the louder one. Like, both men are screaming, but she's, like, the loudest voice of all. And she goes, get the fuck out of my restaurant! Get the fuck out of my restaurant! And I'm, like, trembling. I had already ordered. Don't have my food. I'm new to the city.
Is my Chicago-style hot dogs coming?
Yeah, exactly. Get the fuck out of my restaurant! I did think she was talking to me, too, because I was like, I think she means everybody. Like, we all need to go out. And on the way out of the restaurant, though,
not you stupid motherfucker.
I followed them outside.
Yep.
The white kid hits one of the Latinx gentlemen over the head with a Heineken bottle.
Oh,
and then,
shit.
And then it's on the street. It's full, yes, on Street Fighter, like fists, everything. Everyone's going, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I'm like about to leave the restaurant, and the Wiener Circle goes, hey, white boy! And I turn around, I was like, me? And she was like, obviously, it's you. She goes, you get your shit? And I was like, no. And then she was like, well, here's your shit. And like handed me my, it was like a hot dog or something, cheeseburger. I ran all the way home, but I mean, that's how awesome. You fucking handle that,
makes
stuff,
me
though.
Happy.
She handled that whole thing without even leaving behind the restaurant.
No, yeah. I've watched my dad literally take homeless men by the nape of their neck like a Tom and Jerry cartoon and throw them into the street because they're bringing the whole fucking shopping cart of nightmares into the stink cart into the he goes, hey, you
there's
can't
food here.
You can't bring your fucking shopping cart into my restaurant and you know whatever thing and so it was a lot of like it was like this crazy because the school I went to was all PTA, fat PTA moms and little white kids that played video games.
Yes.
Like, that was the school I... So, it would be like, I would exist in that world.
Yeah.
And then my dad's like, you're coming with me to the restaurant. And then I would go up there, and it was hilarious, number one. Suburbia is not funny. It was hilarious. It was so crazy racist and insane to see.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it was a whole different level of thing, which even though it sucked dick, I did enjoy. I wish that there was some of the personality that came with that, with, you know, those like back at home, with like with the people I hung out with.
Yeah, yeah. You meet a lot of cool people working at restaurants too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so it was like that. But he was crazy.
What kind of stuff would you do to like get in trouble to work at the restaurant?
I mean, it was all like, you know, fucking drawing on literally drawing on desks, taking the pen. We would take pencils and we would go in the
and
we'd fucking throw
the
pencil and stick it in the thing. We'd go into bathrooms, we'd mash potato. You ever mash potato? Where you take the toilet paper and you put it underwater and get it all moppy, and then you fucking fling it, and it would stick to the ceiling and look like mashed potatoes.
I'd see that, and I'd always wonder what was happening. I never participated in that.
Yeah, dude. It was all like stupid, whatever, you know, computer class. Like
stuff.
My favorite one was we coordinated in computer class. You know how like you would take the aux cord out of the back of the speakers if you took and you put that on metal and it made the bzzz sound? You know, like
no,
you never touched like an aux cord.
I let things be when I was a kid, especially in computer class. I was like, bro, let me do my little story time book creator or the one where you drive a semi truck, kinda.
Wait, which one? Like computer games? Like the learning
games? Yeah, it was
like
a semi truck. It was like to teach you geography.
Oh yeah,
it was like a semi truck. I loved all that shit. I ate it up. I wasn't taking apart wires and going.
Nick, we were a fucking menace. This woman quit after our thing because we were so horrible as kids. Because she was a pushover, so we would just do. She would, sorry, it makes me laugh still because it's so mean.
As a kid, you think they're pushovers, but now you look back and you're like, oh, they're just defeated adults. They're just so done with their job. They've had a million yous throughout the years, and they're just like, it's a waste of energy.
And they're like,
he's gonna end up working at the restaurant anyway.
And they just keep getting worse.
Yeah.
It doesn't get better. It gets worse. It's like Dennis killed himself.
They never say thank you.
They never. Dude, we would. She would go to help a kid. I'd go up and I'd turn her computer off and I'd sit back down.
Yeah, so she's just she's defeated.
It was just like, it was like hilarious, but also like, now that you're framing it, Nick, now it's pretty fucking sad. Now it's kind of a sad story. So
so what'd you do to torment this poor teacher?
I mean, it was just all that kind of stuff. Oh, by the way. My dad owns half the restaurant. The other half is his brother named Joey.
Yes.
It's Joey.
Is that toxic?
And it is. It's a comedy movie. My dad is like kind of like kind of round and like a gruff. He talks like the old man in Reservoir Dogs. Like, you're a fucking faggot,
right? Yeah.
He talks like that's what my dad is like. And my Uncle Joe talks like Nathan Lane from Birdcage.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, darling, I'll get you the thing. That's what my Uncle Joe taught. So it's like, it's him and then my Uncle Joe. It's Nathan Lane and the fat guy from fucking Reservoir Dogs.
That is, dude. It's quite a weird, dark Bob's Burgers.
It's a creepy, creepy dark. It's like, it is a creepy Bob's Burgers.
That's hilarious.
It's the Bob's Burgers that won't get picked up because they're like, I think our audiences wouldn't relate.
Yeah.
A little dark. I appreciate it. I think there's a lot of great ideas, but I just think that it's not good.
You would have to animate it, though.
I would love to maybe Adult Swim
Bob's Burgers.
I would love, I would love to do a cartoon with these two fucking psychos.
There you go.
The way they interact is.
Whip it up. Do you have any of the stories you had in mind that you want to close on?
I can talk about.
5 minutes.
I think I told you. I told you about the time when I got arrested for smoking weed, right?
No.
Yes, I think I did. I think it was a while ago. You were pretty drunk. All my interactions with you are if you've been drunk.
I'm pretty drunk, yeah.
I got arrested, and I got to give...
It'll come back. It'll come back. I'll probably remember it, but...
You'll probably remember. It was like... I got arrested for smoking weed back when it was illegal here.
Yeah, when it was cool.
When it was cool, man.
It was cool as shit. I kind of miss those days a little bit.
But these fucking pigs, dude.
Yeah, I used to be cool. Now I'm just annoying to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, ugh, someone smoking weed on the sidewalk again. I wish it was cool. I wish it was like, ooh, but it's not.
Yeah, there is kind of like the fun is out of it.
Yeah,
now
everyone's
it's more
just
of
like,
a real medication.
Really? Here?
Everyone wanted it to be real medication, and now that it's real medication, everyone's like, oh, medication's just like sad and annoying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I got arrested for it, and to give my parents a little bit of credit here, they were very cool about it when they're usually not. Any reaction with the pops growing up,
yeah,
all of it, screaming.
Yeah.
Top of the lungs screaming.
Me too.
And so this was the one time I go, I'm like, hey, mom is upstairs. I go, hey, when mom gets down here, we gotta talk. I'm 18, so they didn't get the call. Everyone else was 17. They all got the call at 3 a.m. I was lucky. So I got to tell myself. And so I was like, listen, when Maya gets down here, I got to tell you. He goes, you tell me right the fuck now what the fuck happened. I was like, I got arrested for smoking weed. He goes, fuck you fucking. All right, Jaggy. When your mother gets down here, tell it to us like it's the first time telling it to us. Like, so I don't know. And I go, why did you need to know? He goes, I don't know. I just fucking wanted to make sure everything's all good. Okay. I was like, okay. So my mom comes down. I go, hi, like the fucking episode of The Office where he has to redo the speech again.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
Hi, everybody. I got arrested for smoking weed. And then my dad's like, oh, fuck. And he's like acting. And my dad's usually not cool about this kind of stuff. but he was really cool about this one. Almost too cool, because then he goes, go upstairs, get your fucking shit and bring it down. I know you got shit upstairs in your fucking room. Go get it and bring it down here.
Yeah. It's the shakedown, dude.
It was the shakedown. I was getting raided. But here's the thing, I knew. I had the day to prepare because the previous day I got arrested. So I, most of my shit, I gave it to my friend. So I just had, basically all I gave him was like a lighter and like some weed and a hitter box. And I go, here's my shit.
Yeah.
He goes, okay. And my mom is like, she's like so sad.
Moms get sad.
She's at the table. She's like, Christopher, you know, doing the whole thing and like, blah, blah, blah. While she's like wallowing and trying to figure out what to do, my dad takes my hitter box and just packs it and just starts smoking the hitter box while my mother's telling me, like, you know, asking me questions. And my mom goes, what the fuck are you doing? He goes, I want to see what the fucking kid's smoking. So he's like trying it. To be. So it's like he was cool about it, but it was always like too cool.
Yeah.
It's like everything is like screaming until it's like super serious. And then he's like, then he like turns the chair around and turns into the cool camp counselor guy trying to talk to me about Jesus. Like
it
was very much like that. So it was like everything was just like I never knew.
Being responsible. I just want to make sure he's smoking, you know, he's not smoking that premium stuff. I want to make sure he's smoking the appropriate weed for his age.
It was literally, I think it was just like one of those things where he's trying to like relate in a way, but like it just, he always just hits or misses the mark socially.
Yeah.
It's never right. He's like, listen, I'm going to be cool about this. I smoked weed when I was a kid, so I'm going to smoke weed during the confession. You know, it's like, it's always like, no, that last part, though. Pops, if you took away the last part, it would have been awesome. Yeah, it's always over the top.
Yeah.
So it was, it was all a mixture of, like, being in this crazy, weird restaurant, and then also, like, everything was just screaming and socially inept weirdness.
Yeah. I want to smoke weed with my dad, but I don't think he will, and I also think it would get weird quick.
Why?
Because he...
Did you guys not fix it? Is it still kind of weird?
No, I mean, no. It's not, no, it's not weird. It's just like, I think he would feel weird. He gets really drunk around me, but like being stoned is different. I think it would just get really quiet. You know, I think we both would just kind of like not want to engage, and then he would go probably read his book. But Chris, it was fun having you on, man. You want to plug anything before you go?
Yeah, I'm doing the Roast Battle Championship at the Lincoln Lodge for the next 2 months.
Oh, shit.
2 months. It's a bad idea. There's too many people that joined up. 64 people.
Holy crap.
64.
And it's like bracket style, right?
Bracket style. Winner takes all.
And are you hosting? Are you judging?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing both. We're all going to be, you know, we're going to be on the panel. We're going to be hosting, like, everyone on the team, me, Matt Banwart, and Claire Sunby. And we're just going to be rotating. And it's going to be fucking really, really legitimately.
Those shows
really
look
fun.
Like so much fun.
You should come on. You should come on the show.
I would
show.
Love to be a judge.
You motherfucker.
I can roast too.
You as a judge. But I want to see you roast. I want to see you hurt somebody's feelings.
I really enjoyed it.
Have
back
you ever
in
done
North-
a roast battle?
Yes.
Yeah?
I really enjoyed it back in North Carolina. It's fun.
Yeah. We'll have you on.
It's a mode that I can tap into, but I kind of have to like
it's a good writing exercise.
I watch a lot of roast battles. I have to get into the mode.
Yep.
But once you're there, it's good.
Yep. It's a good time.
All right, Chris. Thanks again.
I appreciate it, dude. Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun.